Now you have to hear my story. So you're getting stories today. That's pretty cool. One of the things that, for those of you that don't know me, by the way, my name is Pete Rizzuto. I used to be the student ministries pastor here at Christ Community Church. Last year I had the opportunity to go and serve with Youth for Christ in the Middle East. I live in Abu Dhabi now, which is just next door to Saudi Arabia, 60 miles from Iran. And we are doing some awesome ministry with teenagers over there in partnership with Youth for Christ and the Anglican Church in Abu Dhabi. And so that's a little bit about me. So I know Christ Community. I know some of you very well. Some of you, I look forward to meeting you today and getting to know more about your story and how you've come to be part of Christ Community Church. But I'm basically here to tell you the story of myself as a missionary you support as a church, both personally, individually, as people, and as a congregation. And really, these whole stories of mission, whether it's Indiana, whether it's Uganda, whether it's Mexico, it all has to do with the kingdom. We all prayed a prayer for your kingdom come. And sometimes we refer to that as the Lord's Prayer. We say it at communion time for your kingdom come, your will be done. And that little part, we say it all the time, your kingdom come, and we don't really necessarily break that down as to what it means. But Jesus talks a lot about something called the kingdom of heaven. He talks about it pretty much, like, there's only a few topics, but he talks about this pretty significantly. And this is just something I'm going to share with you. I'm going to tell you stories from the Middle East, but I want you just to wrap all this together, as it is the story of God and God's story and what he's doing all over the world, whether it's Mexico, whether it's Indiana, whether it's in the United Arab Emirates, where I'm from, or whether it's in Plainfield, Illinois. God is doing something amongst his people and in the lives of many individuals. And so Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom of God. And in fact, there's so many verses, it's really hard to pinpoint one. And this is one of them. I'm giving you two of my favorites and some that inspire me as to do what I do. And so this is kind of one that inspires me. And the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom of heaven, there's joy to it. There's treasure to it. There's an abundance of excitement around the kingdom of God. And so it's something that usually we don't think of as, we think of kingdom come, we think of it as one moment in time, we think of it as something unique and specific, and we're just waiting and anticipating it. Rather, the kingdom of God is something that's coming on a continual basis. It's ongoing. So the words, your kingdom come, you say the word your, that means you, God, your God, we're not. Kingdom, we want you as king to rule us with peace, with love, with joy, all the attributes of who Jesus is. And the word come, it's not actually meaning the word like a moment in time. It's an ongoing thing that's continual. And the kingdom of God is continually growing, and the mission is continually moving. Some of you here are brand new believers in Jesus, and we're so glad that you are here and growing in your faith. But there's going to be more people that come because of your testimony. There's going to be people who we need to continue to bless and tell the story of Jesus about. And so that's kind of the kingdom coming on a continual basis. This verse is really, really important to me. I work with young people in Abu Dhabi, and we'll get to those stories in just a second. But here's just one little great verse here. The kingdom of, we read that already. And this is Matthew 18, verse 3. And it said, Jesus pretty much said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter what? The kingdom of heaven. And then it says in verse 4, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So right there, that's a unique phrase and I really like it. The next one is, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. This is why I work with young people. Because Jesus calls young people the greatest treasure in the kingdom of heaven. He says the kingdom belongs to people like this. I'm sorry to break that news to you. So for me, young kids, teenagers, that's who Jesus is referring to here. The kingdom belongs to people like that. And so I'm inspired to work with teenagers overseas. And I just want you guys to understand, here's the cool thing is Matthew 19, 14. Let the little children come to me, do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven belongs to these people. When you think of the kingdom of heaven, I think of people and believers like teenagers. Exciting, passionate, kind of carefree, a little bit dumb here and there. But I think of their innocence, I think of their passion, and many of you know teenagers or little kids, when you get a vision in front of them and they really sell out to it, they are running and they are going after it and there's nothing that can stop them. And I think that's a great analogy for the kingdom of heaven, and I think that's what Jesus is going after. And I think that's what the verse, it's a treasure you go and buy the field to get because it's such a passion of yours, this Jesus man. And so for me, working in the Middle East has been a lot of fun. I work in a ministry that's very unique. I work for Youth for Christ half of my time, and I also work with the Anglican Church half the time. Our Anglican Church in Abu Dhabi, there's 52 other churches that meet on our compound. We have a compound that's sandwiched between Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Mosque, the British School, Catholic Church over here, Evangelical Church, and about three other international schools in the neighborhood. So we are primarily located in a great location. So what I tried to do is decide what ministry is going to advance the kingdom here. The UAE is a Muslim country, so we have to be a little careful about how we go about evangelism and how we go about telling the story of Jesus. But the cool part about it is that I have a team of people who run it, who are running the church, who are really passionate about unbelieving people. And so much like here at Christ Community, how we want to go and reach people who don't believe, we have the same passion out in the Middle East. And we've created a ministry, just like Refuge here, we've tried to create a similar type of atmosphere where any young person can connect with God and other teenagers. That's our mission. That's what we do. And it's a ministry we call Refuge. And it's the first ministry in the city of Abu Dhabi that specifically targets and welcomes unbelieving people. And so our first night out, we've had a big core group of students invite students to our wonderful meeting where we tell stories about Jesus and who he is. And this is a picture of that. So we had a significant turnout, and it's all on an invite, come and learn basis. We don't have moments where we pray for people. We don't have moments where we specifically ask people to believe in Jesus. We simply tell the stories of who Jesus is, what he has done, what he had promised us, and we let each young person decide on their own. And this has led to many awesome conversations with young people outside of this group, and it's been a great ministry tool for us in Abu Dhabi. So we see a bunch of students from many faith backgrounds, including Hindu, many Christian, and also some Muslim backgrounds as well, coming to start and understand who Jesus is and at least hear the message. And I'll share some stories with some people in a few minutes. We also run, as part of Youth for Christ, we run an event called Desert Challenge. And it happens every year in Dubai. There's over 400 students that come out so we can train them, equip them, to send them back out to their schools so they can at least minister in a setting that's very, in a safe way to their friends. And we had the opportunity also to go to the nation of Bahrain this year. And we actually had the event there as well. So we did two this year. And the nation of Bahrain, if you keep up with the news, it's very, very rough. It's very tense right now. We got off the plane and all you smell is tear gas in Bahrain because the government is tear gassing its people. And so imagine if you're part of this community and you're living there and you're living in this environment. All the churches in Bahrain, there's five, they got together, they funneled their funds and said, we're not going to let anybody pay for this. Every student's coming for free. And they put on a tremendous event for 3 days. I was part of the leadership team there as well. And we even had, this is the U.S. Navy, Fifth Fleet is stationed in Bahrain. So one of the chaplains there got word that we were doing this, and he said, how many people you need to help? So the U.S. Navy brought over 50 soldiers to come help out at this event. Then the chaplain says, you know, we have a bunch of inflatable games and inflatable rides for all the kids on the Navy base. Do you want to use those for free? Sure we do. So we had 3 days of U.S. Navy servicemen coming, hanging out with young people, having them run drills and running inflatable rides, and all for God's glory in the Middle East. Unique. Very unique. And one of the awesome things about... let's go to the next one there, Nate. One of the awesome stories I will tell you, if you are taping this or if you have a Facebook account, please don't comment on this online. If you have an audio thing or if you have any camera, please don't take any pictures. I've blacked out his eyes. His name is a really awesome guy who I met in Bahrain. And God had the wonderful opportunity of putting him in my group for some reason. Muslim. He is from a Muslim family. He is a Bahraini national. So the fact that he was at a church event is already risky, but he came. And I need a volunteer. Who would like to be my volunteer? Not Tyler. I need a guy. That's what I'm saying. Josh Christensen, come here. Faster, please. Josh, if there was a sandwich up here, you'd walk much faster. Come on. All right. I'm going to address you the way my friend would dress in an everyday setting, okay? So, this is the candor, the whole outfit, and also the headscarf. Anybody want to take a guess as to what this means? Any significance? Does this have any significance whatsoever in Islam? Does anybody think so? It doesn't. Okay. Now, here is a scarf. This is the headscarf. So remember, these were Bedouins. They were nomads. That was their people. I'm not going to fold it the right way. Is that okay? Now, this is here to keep this from moving. That's all it is. That's the religious significance of it. Okay? I'm going to open this even one more, okay? And then we're going to get a really cool look on your head. There we go. Cool. Awesome. Now, this one is red. Traditionally, the red pattern of the candor and the scarf meant that you could trace your family back to a tribe of Jordan. Now it's just fashion, so you look cool if you have red or any other color. The only other one you might see is black. That means you actually still to this day could trace your history back to Palestinian people. Now, here's this thing. It folds over. It does this. You know what this does? It's just fashion, really, now, but it goes over here. It functions really well. Keeps the scarf on your head, but back in the day when they were Bedouins, there's no trees, and camels just walk forever until they find water. So if you need to stop and visit somebody, your camel's going to keep walking. What do? So you take this, unfold it, tie a camel's legs together, and it walks very, 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 very slowly and even stops and sits down. That's the purpose of this. Now it's fashion. They wear it on their head, like so, to keep the scarf on. Now, any of this, how many of you all think this has, there's some Islamic reference to a lot of this? Anybody think this has to do with Islam? I'm sorry. There's absolutely nothing Islamic about this. This has nothing to do with the Islamic faith. This is all traditional, local, tribal dress. It's functional. The sandstorm comes up, buddy. What are you going to do if the sandstorm comes up? You're going to do that. What are you going to do if you're really, really, really hot outside? You're just going to fan yourself, right? Yeah, yeah. And you're going to wipe the sweat off your face, okay? That's what you're going to do, okay? And then, say you're out with your friends, just hanging out at the mall. All you're going to do is you're going to take that off, and you're just going to wrap it up like so, and it's going to look really nice. Yeah, this is a bad job of that. That's considered very casual. This is considered formal. That's the only thing. It's like us with T-shirts and a collar. Suddenly, it's a formal occasion. You put a collar on, T-shirt, it's very casual. So my question to you, though, is, and this is something I had to come up and come to terms with. When I put this on Josh, many of you, and including myself before, we have a lot of stereotypes that come up in our minds. We start thinking, many of us have a little bit of a fear. Many of us kind of go, those people. And it's not a mean thing. It's just how we are and what we're exposed to and the natural outpouring of our hearts. Sometimes that comes out. And so you have to ask yourself, does the kingdom of God, the message of Jesus, belong to people who look like this? And you start to think, it really does. And so my friend dresses like this. Does the kingdom of God belong to him? Do I still have the right and the opportunity to go up to him and tell him? Thank you, Josh. And so pretty much I just wanted to show you guys that I was a Bahraini national. I got to sit next to him in worship services. I'd hear words out of his mouth like, Jesus is Lord. He'd be singing worship songs with his hands lifted. And I'd look at him and I'd go, dude, you're a Bahraini national. What are you doing? And he told me about how he came. Previous picture. He told me how he came to know Jesus because his friends invited him to breakdance in a little breakdance group at their youth group. And he started to come and he said, I never felt loved. I never felt the joy of the Lord like I did at this place. And I'm continuing to come and I'm continuing to learn. I don't know if he's professed his faith in Jesus. He says he goes to mosque with his dad and every time he hears the word Muhammad, he says the word Jesus. I don't know if that's legal, but it's fine because this kid's life has been transformed and he feels loved and honored by the people in his world because someone took the opportunity to be kingdom-minded and invite him in. And this is a life that's been changed for all of eternity. We also work with a lot of Christian kids who are in unique settings. This is the next picture. This guy's name is Ethan without the shirt on. Sorry, ladies. But he is our worship leader. He is the only Christian in an Islamic school of 3,000 kids. His three friends around invited us out. We invited them to an outing on a boat one of our congregation members has. And those three guys said, this is the first time I've ever hung out with a group of Christians. But we have guys like Ethan, our worship leader, working really hard to reach out to his friends and his peers to bring them in. And it's a good thing we have a ministry like Refuge so we can have that opportunity in a non-threatening way so they can learn stories about who Jesus is. So he's a wonderful addition to our team. Now, I don't know anything about Arab culture, but we have this wonderful friend of the church. His name is Ali Al-Saloom. His name is Ask Ali. If you go online, you can go askali.com. And you will find all this cool stuff about him. He is the expert on Middle East culture. And his job is to teach people who live there about Arab culture. And we had the opportunity to invite him to the church. He walks into the church, he steps in and he says, this is the first time I've been in this church. I've lived here my whole life. He walks down the aisle. He's like, do I have to do anything? What do I do? Do I have to take my shoes off? And we bring him in and he talks to us and he tells us about Arab culture. And through spending time with this guy, I get to see him every so often. I understand, and we understand, an Arab mentality on who Jesus is and who Christians are and where they're coming from. And so now we're able as a team, my team of leaders and youth leaders, we're able to understand where a young person comes from with their understanding of Christian thought so we can be better fueled and better have better ammunition to teach them about the love of Jesus. Ali's a great guy and he's a great friend of the church. He's a Muslim and he hangs out at church. What a cool guy. And so he's one of our friends of the church. We also do service opportunities. This is our service team going to the Filipino embassy. Over 165 women come in and out of the Filipino embassy in the UAE every month because they are either abused, not paid, raped, or anything like that by their employers. So they have nowhere to turn. They run to their embassy, and the embassy has to work really hard to get them home. Because under the law, they've left their employment and their visa. They are the criminals, not the abusers. So what we do is they come there with nothing. We prepare care packages. We do wonderful events for them every other month. We go and we just hang out with them, and many of them get their phones out and send pictures to each other because it's just such a unique opportunity for them. So we're showing practical love to these people as well and teaching young people about service in the UAE as well. And the last thing, we've had a wonderful opportunity to take a team to India this year. We took about 13 students to serve in an orphanage of 65 really poor Indian children, and also we served in a leprosy hospital as well. And the gentleman in the middle was the chef who was cured of leprosy but still has many deformities. And we just got to pray with him. We got to pray with all the people in the leprosy hospital, many people who have been bedridden for years, maybe 30 years, some of them. And in India, if you have leprosy, you're considered an outcast, so they ship you here, and no one ever comes and sees you. No one talks to you. No one touches you because you're considered, the word translates, untouchable. So the first thing we did, we went in there, and you touch lepers. And we took teenagers to do it. And it was an amazing experience. And leprosy is something we don't even think of anymore, but you read the Bible and you read all the stories of Jesus healing these people. Jesus touched these people, so why couldn't we touch these people too? And it was a great experience for all of our students. So this is a bit of what we do in the Middle East, and I couldn't do it without your help. But this is the story of what's going on in the Middle East with the story of Jesus. Many of you maybe came to church today and you're like, Jesus doesn't work anywhere but in this part of the world. Well, he does, and he's doing great things, and he's on the move. It might not look like it does here, and it might not be as fast, and it might not be what you think it is, but Jesus is working in many ways in the Middle East, in the middle of a really unique Islamic culture. Jesus' word is going out, and Jesus is doing many awesome works. And so that's the story of me in the UAE. And so the challenge to you as a church is, what's the story of Plainfield, Illinois Christ Community Church? We heard about Indiana. We heard about Mexico. We heard about the Middle East. We heard about Uganda. What will the story be about Christ Community Church and what you're doing and who you're reaching and what you're serving and how you're doing it? Because many of us think that I can't go to Uganda, I can't go to the UAE, I can't do that. And quite frankly, I find that all weird. So I'll just sit here and hear the stories and pray for you. Yes, I appreciate that. But that doesn't excuse any of us as believers in Jesus from going and serving here, locally, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, and people around you. It's what we're called to do. And so I rejoice in the day where we have a service here with our mission service where we get to hear about all the awesome stories of serving and the stories of meeting the needs of the community here in Plainfield and stories of people coming to know Jesus Christ because you, as a church, were kingdom-minded and you wanted that word to go out. And so I challenge you guys to continue to do that. Your mission field is every single day and the people around you. Please love Jesus enough, treasure him enough, like the verse says, to go and buy the field, to go and serve, to go and love and proclaim his name to people who all around you are hurting, they're struggling, and they're really not happy, and they really have problems. And you can bring that hope to them just by your presence, just by your words, and just by loving on them. If you need to know any more information about what I do, and if maybe you don't know me, or maybe you'd like to support what I do, you have many choices here regarding mission support. And I would just encourage you, please come talk to me after the service. I'd be more than happy. There's forms out there where you can get more information about what I do. And if the Middle East is a place where you're intrigued by it, I'll be more than happy to talk to you. And we're hopefully going to work out some sort of opportunity for people to come see and experience what life is like in the Middle East. I know many of you, that's a scary thought. I have gone and come several times. I am still alive. And I have many friends. And it's a wonderful place, and there's several people here who have been. And so I just thank you for your prayers and your support. And again, what will the Plainfield Christ Community Church story be? And I look forward to hearing that next time I'm in town. And I ask for your prayers, and I thank you for your support. I think Phil's going to come up and say a prayer, say some last words for you. Thank you for being here this morning.
It is so great this morning, just hearing so many stories of what God is using us to do. And we're so thankful for Pete, the ministry is doing in Abu Dhabi. And so we just wanted to just close in prayer. The band will sing afterwards if you want to stay and worship. We want to honor your time as much as possible this morning. But we're just so thankful for the work that God's doing through us. And then for any of you who want to give toward Pete's mission, there also is a basket there at the Welcome Center that you can give a one-time donation or go in to sign up to support him monthly for the mission that is going on there in Abu Dhabi. So let me pray for him, pray for us as we leave this morning. I hope you've been blessed, and I hope you're challenged to see what will your story look like, because God is calling you to do something in this town, in this city, in this world. And so may all of us have stories to tell as this next year goes by. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the beauty and wonder of knowing you through Jesus, that you've given all so that we could know you and have a relationship with you. And Lord, I thank you for our teams who went out from us as our representatives, as your representatives. Lord, we thank you for Pete and the work he's doing with so many young people in Abu Dhabi. And Lord, I just pray that you will continue to bless his ministry there, that you will provide for him financially and physically, and that, Lord, we would just hear more stories of kids whose lives are being changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just pray for our community, Lord, that we would see the story that you're writing, the story that we're called to be a part of, that we could impact and change other people's stories for eternity. And so, Lord, would you continue to write out that story in our lives and even convict us and show us this morning what you're calling us to do, what that next step for us is to do at our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, that we would just be a testimony, a living example of how Jesus can change a life. And so, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that we not only get to know you, but to serve you. We love you. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen.